Don't touch that dial.
This is The Morning Shift.
All of them are really, really hot.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I was waiting for some more of those dance moves, Mike. There's like club Mike. Yeah. There's dad Mike.
Well, it's a multifaceted mic.
NASCAR Mike.
Yeah. There's definitely a redneck mic in there somewhere for sure.
We're back on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike, Bo, and Tiff here with you. And we have been talking a lot about the Falcons because there's just so much going on with free agency and the draft is like the next big thing coming our way, and the Falcons have the 8th pick, and we've been talking about, do they need a deep threat at the wide receiver position? Maybe another deep threat at the wide receiver position. Mecole Hardman now signed a one-year deal with the New York Jets, so he's out of the mix. Possibly the Jets maybe are expected to trade receiver Corey Davis. There's some options out there. I'm just curious to see what you guys think about this.
Well, it's so funny. You leave here yesterday, and obviously we had a lot of conversation around Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith, and it's so funny because once you kind of sit and digest a little bit, and I don't know how y'all felt when we got off the air yesterday, but I'm sitting there going, you know, we are talking circles around these Georgia Bulldogs, and obviously we're in Georgia, and I think it makes for a good topic of conversation because there's certain aspects of both of those guys' games that you'd love to see with the Falcons. But then I leave and we get home. It's like you said, I slept through the production call yesterday and I kind of take a nap and I wake up and I go, dude, the odds are, and it's overwhelmingly high odds, they're not going to take a player from Georgia. They've never taken a player from Georgia in the first round. I wouldn't be shocked if it was either one of those guys, but the odds tell me, Bo, that it's probably not going to be either one of them.
Well, it's because the draft is such a crapshoot. You don't know what's going to happen in front of you. We're going to get to that. I know Tiff's got some stuff on some of the pro days that are happening, including the Ohio State one that happened yesterday with C.J. Stroud and Jackson Smith and Jigba. It's so hard to say, because we fall in love with players.
Yeah.
All right? Just like these teams fall in love with players, we fall in love with players. And it's normally a player that we have seen a lot of. Who have we seen a lot of? Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith.
Yeah.
Broderick Jones, guys like that. We've seen a lot of these guys. So we fall in love with them, and we don't realize that there are other players. We also go, for some reason in football, we seem to do this, and we give – this is why I've been so hard on Trae Young. Because if in basketball, if you're the best player on the court, you can take over a game. It's a lot harder in the NFL or in college football for one player to take over a game. Now, we've seen guys do it. Just so happens that at times they haven't become great NFL players. Tim Tebow could take over a game. Cam Newton took over a game and then won an MVP in the NFL. Baker Mayfield could do that, could razzle-dazzle, and yeah, he had guys around him in the system fit. Kyler Murray hasn't done much. Now, Lamar is another guy who has done that, which is why people fall in love with him so much. But it's so hard. You still need things around you. Jalen Carter, there's no doubt he can take over a game if you draft him at 8. I think Nolan Smith can as well. The thing is can he survive in the environment, like you said yesterday, of the NFL? With these college programs like Georgia, the ones that win are structured. When you get to the NFL, there's a lot of that is on your own because, by the way, you're getting paid millions of dollars and you're an adult. And you have to do adult things, and sometimes these guys aren't ready for that because they've never experienced it.
Well, I think the other thing that kind of you put into the thought process, too, is what have the Falcons been so bad at? And, it kind of goes twofold because you look at what Georgia has been good at and closing out games, and really they've been dominant on third down the last couple of years and winning back-to-back national titles, and they've been so good at that. And you look at Kirby Smart and Glenn Schumann and this defense and all the things they've done, and you say, man, why can't the Falcons replicate that? How long had the Falcons been terrible on third down and rushing the passer and getting the speed off the edge? And I think that kind of goes in that entire thought process of this is what we need to do because you've seen so much success out of those guys in situations that the Falcons are so bad at.
You mentioned rushing the passer, and I know we've talked about maybe some of the receiver options and some other defensive guys that they could use with that 8th pick, but what about a guy like corner Christian Gonzalez, and you're talking about rushing the passer. That's a corner that loves to do that. I had 3 Oregon games last season and got to talk to the guy on the phone, and you know, he's talking about how he describes himself as an evil twin, how he has his persona, you know, the nice guy, like, off the field, but on the field, he just turns it on and turns into a completely different guy. And he also told me about how he loves getting in on blitzing, how he wants to join the party. Tosh Lupoi, who used to be here in the Atlanta Falcons, is also the defensive coordinator, now, in Oregon. And so he was talking about how they love having a corner like that, that wants to get involved in sacking guys, that wants to be physical. And that's the type of player that you get with Christian Gonzalez. And so that possibly, you know, could be an option for them there if they want to continue to add to a secondary where they already got, you know, Jesse Bates too.
Yeah, I think there's a number of guys out there at the corner position that you'd love to have. I don't know how valuable those guys are. And I think the same conversations had around Nolan Smith is how early do you have to take him? Can you kind of, you know, find a partner that wants to trade back? Maybe somebody that wants a quarterback that wants to move up and make that move. I would be fine with a quarter at the number 8 pick. And because I think there's enough depth in the draft as far as edge rushers go. I mean, you look at a guy like Ojulari out of LSU, who had a lot of success in the last couple of years against SEC competition and some of the tackles he was rushing. That's going to be a second-round guy that might be sitting there at 44. So I think there's a number of different ways to do it. I think you have to get through the rest of free agency, and luckily there's another month plus until you get into that draft. But you know the positions of need. You know what's on the free agency market as far as depth pieces go. So how much do you want to value? And we talk about third down, and we've talked about it from the angle of Nolan Smith and really affecting the passer. You still need it on the back end too. So you could possibly get one of these guys, a Joey Porter Jr., pair them up with A.J. Terrell and you know, make for a good combination.
Well, just touching on what Tiffany said about Christian Gonzalez, 6'1", right around 200 pounds. What is A.J. Terrell? 6'1", around 200 pounds. Every one of your DBs would be over 6 foot, right at the 200-pound range.
Rangy.
I like that word.
AJ runs a 4.42. Gonzalez, I believe, ran a 4.38. So you've got – and you want speedy guys out there. What does that say to me? Make up speed, big, rangy. And by the way, what is it that really affects timing of routes? If you can't get after the quarterback – what is the one thing that can help you knock off the timing of a quarterback? If you've got a big, strong, physical corner that can come up and jam that guy right at the beginning of his route and throw his timing off, but make him redirect a little bit, and now you've got an extra to get a little extra tick there to get to the guy, and hopefully with Onyemata and Grady now in that middle, you can kind of create something where you're getting after that quarterback and that interior pressure and maybe giving those edge guys an extra shot at the quarterback.
Well, and that interior, it's so important when you're rushing the passer. You know, if you don't want the guy to step up around your edge rushers and step up into the pocket and deliver downfield, you have to have somebody in the middle that can push it. And I think that's the reason a lot of Falcons fans do fall in love with Jalen Carter, because he can affect the game on 3 different downs. You know, he's going to be a plug up the middle. I love what Tiff had to say about the physicality. And we talk about the size, but just that mindset is so hard to find at a guy who, whatever, what'd you say, 4.38?
Yeah, 4.38.
I mean, that's so hard to find in guys that are 4.3, 4.4 guys that are willing to step up and make a difference through the secondary. And that's what, by the way, that's what football's become. You're a nickel now all the time,
yeah.
And you have to have physical players in the secondary.
Well, I was talking to Arch yesterday about fronts and everything and what the defense, and he's like, yeah, you got to throw that out. He's like, you got to throw it out because you're in special so much. Look at this, though. You would have two guys. If Gonzalez was your guy, and look, we're just speculating, guys, but this is why you need to be happy. You got two guys who will come up on the edge and stick their neck in there, because one thing that A.J. Terrell shocked me with was how physical he is, especially in the run game. He will come up and pop you.
I think the term multiple that we keep throwing around about this Falcons defense is the reason I keep falling back to Nolan Smith, because he fits that mold to me. He's like, if you're talking about a guy who is 240, that's a 4.38 kind of guy, you can play him in space, right? You can rush the edge, yes. And I know everybody's talking about the numbers aren't there. He didn't play much last year, right? But if you're a 4.38 guy, you can probably still gain 10 pounds or so of muscle and kind of get your body right, and you're still a 4.4 guy, and you can play in space, and you can play in, quote-unquote, multiple defenses the way that Ryan Nielsen wants to do this year.
Hey, and something Christian Gonzalez did say about Terrell is that he watches him all the time. He's a great physical corner, and he loves to see what he brings to the table. So it would be a lot of fun to see those two guys playing out there together. We are going to go in the huddle after the break. This is the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 929 The Game. We're live in the Kia Studios.
Started.
Go ahead.
With the Morning Shift.
Time for the show.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to huddle up.
Bring it in close. Bring it in close.
The latest NFL news, rumors, reports, and happenings.
Within the huddle on the Morning Shift.
We are back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike, Bo, and Tiff here with you. And before we go in the huddle, I want to remind you, we do have NFL Network's insider Mike Garofolo joining us in our next hour, and we'll be able to break down some more of these free agency moves and all these deals. And guys, the New York Jets kind of playing some musical chairs with their wide receivers. Mecole Hardman signed a one-year deal with the Jets in response to the move that the Jets traded wide receiver Elijah Moore to the Cleveland Browns. What do you guys make of all this? And also, you know, the fact that Corey Davis, as we kind of touched on earlier, is still a part of the Jets.
Well, the Corey Davis thing intrigues me because we do need a receiver here. He had, once again,
could be on the trading block.
Yeah, and they kind of mentioned that when they got rid of Elijah Moore after they brought in Mecole Hardman. But once again, we're talking about a player who's played under Arthur Smith, who coincidentally had his best years
yep.
under Arthur Smith. Problem for me with this is he's a free agent after this season. He comes with a $10 million price tag. What do I got to give up? And he's got to rework his deal to bring him in here because Corey Davis fits the Arthur Smith mold. Big-bodied receiver. He can get it a little bit down the field. He's in that mid at 4.4 to 4.5 range somewhere in there, I think, when he tested at the combine. So he's a guy that intrigues me. I'm just not giving up a lot for a guy that I know I have to extend, and what does he have left? Because he's came on lean times. Now, granted, he had Jets quarterbacks play, throwing to him, so.
Yeah, I think that's what the concern is. What do you have to give up for him? I mean, if this was a simple free agency signing, you'd look at it and go, oh, this could possibly be a slam dunk. It's been a couple of years since he had those great years with Arthur Smith back in Tennessee, 65 catches, almost 1,000 yards. So he's a good player. He makes contested catches. And that's something obviously the Falcons could use too. They do at some point though, Bo, and I don't know if it's through free agency. I know there's been a lot of whispers about all kinds of players. They have to add somebody at some point in the passing game, right? That's another threat. And I don't know if that's the key. Zacchaeus coming back. There's been a number of receivers, and I think they've been on the record, but all the whispers say that they have to add a receiver at some point. So maybe this is somebody you can kick the tires on.
Yeah, you got to fill out the roster, Tiffany. I mean, first and foremost, but Olamide, to me, is a guy that I like. I've always kind of heard that the coaching staff loves him. He's on the – what does he want? He's a free agent. He does take the top off. He is a speedy guy. I think his first catch ever was like a 93-yard touchdown catch where he ran the last 50 against the Panthers, if I'm not mistaken. Problem for me, or the problem I see with Zacchaeus, is his size. He's only 5'8", and everybody they sign to play tight end or receiver – comes like a 6'1"
do your job, Bo.
Requirement or taller. I can't talk. But, you know, you have a height requirement.
I don't like that.
To literally play receiver for the Atlanta Falcons these days.
Yeah. Well, I think the question you have to ask yourself, if you're the Jets and you want to move Corey Davis, you have to ask yourself, and I think the reason they want to move on from, like you said, I think it's an $11 or $12 million price tag for them, cap hit this year. But that's the going rate. When you look at wide receivers that are getting these deals around the league, it's like if you move on from him and want to trade him, what are you going to put in his place? Because you're going to have to go out and get somebody eventually unless you want to do it through the draft. And I think that's the question you have to ask yourself. What is he worth? What is he worth to the Jets? And what are they willing to do to hold on to him in the end?
You're listening to Sports Radio. You're listening to The Morning Shift. I'll get it right. On Sports Radio.
I think I messed you up.
You messed
now,
me up.
I couldn't say 6 foot. And now you can't do this.
Now I can't do this thing. You're listening to The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So we had some pro days going down. C.J. Stroud in Ohio State was yesterday. And then we have Bryce Young and Alabama's pro day going down today. Guys, the whole entire Panthers brass, we can talk about our competition in the NFC South. They were out at Stroud's pro day yesterday. The same contingency is going to be at Bryce Young's pro day today, and they actually had dinner with them. With him last night. That's according to Albert Breer. I did reach out to some sources to just talk about and gauge the Panthers' interest in both of these quarterbacks. And, you know, kind of what they were telling me is that they feel like C.J. Stroud is kind of more like maybe an Aaron Rodgers. He's a guy that can get out of trouble and escape when he needs to, whereas they feel like Bryce Young may be able to kind of be more mobile, you know, maybe more of the time. And so, you know, and I'm just looking at the Panthers staff and who's on it. So you have Thomas Brown is now their offensive coordinator. He comes from the Rams where they did a lot of play action pass, stretch zone. So you kind of need a QB that's fairly mobile in that regard. And so when you look at a Bryce Young, they feel like maybe he's a guy that can fit into that mold. He's also pretty familiar with some pro-style terminology with Bill O'Brien having been his offensive coordinator, Alabama, which O'Brien's now with the Patriots. I think that, you know, maybe if those guys are available for them, that I could possibly see a Bryce Young fitting in there in the Panthers scenario.
Well, no, I think the intriguing part about both of these guys is they're both elusive. I guess they're mobile within the pocket, but neither one of them were runners in college. They were both looking to throw and get the ball downfield. And we've talked about it a number of times already in the week that we've been on air. That's what NFL quarterbacks have to be now. You have to be elusive in the pocket but still looking to throw. I think one of the reasons that Lamar Jackson is struggling so much is because he is part of that running game. One of the reasons at the end of Cam's career is because he had been part of that running game, these designed
Cam
quarterback
runs.
Cam
didn't have a line, an offensive, you know, a good line at certain times of his career there to protect him. He got banged up.
Well, there was a certain point, and it was when he got the concussion against the Falcons, six, 7 years
Debo,
ago, where he's like, hey, I don't want to run. I don't want to run anymore the way I have been running. I'm going to become a pocket passer. I feel like really things kind of fell off for him after that situation.
And that was his fault, by the way. He shouldn't have taunted Deion.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he
taunted Debo.
He
high-stepped
it.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah, Debo pulled a Debo. Yeah.
That's what Debo does.
Yeah, but
mess around and find out.
Look, Bryce Young, the reason why I think they're grading Bryce Young higher in his mobility is because he played behind some bad offensive lines for Alabama standards. For Alabama standards. Okay, you want to talk about it? The 2021 offensive line was not very good. Go look at Auburn. They couldn't protect him in the Iron Bowl, and Bryce Young still found ways. Bryce is very good in the pocket at getting out of trouble, no fault of his own, and making some plays. I think I'm about to get
So along those lines, and you know, talking to this NFL source, it's not that they feel like Bryce Young, you know, is way more mobile than CJ Stroud, but they look at him as a better fit possibly for the Panthers offense. I should also note that they were impressed by CJ in that game against Georgia, right? Because they weren't playing that type of pass rush all season. And the fact that CJ was able to get out of some pressure against basically UGA's like entire like teams going pro, right? Their defense, he was able to get out of some pressure situations.
Look, that game went against everybody said about CJ Stroud, that he didn't do well when the pocket broke down. He didn't want to, even though he has the tools, he didn't want to do those things. He did them. But I know you want to yell at me, and I'll let you get that chance.
I'm about to yell at both of y'all.
But I'm going to say this, and I know Mike's going to pop me quick. Do you just have like a play? Do you just cut up everything that I say, Dylan, and make a drop of it?
I have everything from all of you, not just you.
Well, I don't ever hear
Mike's
their drops.
Mike's about to burst.
Go ahead. I think this is all an okey-doke. Luke Kuechly told us he loves Anthony Richardson. He has ties in Carolina, just as you do, Tiffany. Thomas Davis came out yesterday and said, I love Anthony Richardson, and I could see the Panthers doing something that surprises people. I think Anthony Richardson is going to go number one overall, and it is going to cost someone their job at Carolina.
I think what Thomas Davis is talking about is Will Levis. I mean, we talked about this the other day. Will Levis has his name continues to pop up, and it makes no sense to me. Well, the same thing with Anthony Richardson. Let me tell y'all something right now. We talked about it earlier. There's different versions of me. You do not want to mess with offensive line me, okay? Right? He just talked about how bad Bama's offensive line was 2 years ago.
I said they were bad.
Mute
for
this
Bama
man,
standards.
Dylan.
What did I
I'm going to tell you right now. In a Heisman Trophy winning season, Bo,
He won the Heisman Trophy.
Behind this Mike's offensive line.
Pop me
Wait,
quick.
What did I do? What
you're
did
over
I do?
There talking about the bad Carolina offensive line.
I didn't say, look, they went
you
to the Super Bowl. I said
played,
at some period
They went to the Super
time,
Bowl, he won an MVP.
Yes.
So they weren't that bad.
No, I didn't say the whole his entirety of his career.
They weren't that
there
bad.
There were some questions that came up during my tenure covering that team about the offensive line and them being banged up at certain periods.
Look,
and
yeah. Offensive line
Tiffany.
Play, it
Y'all
sucks
are my
at
favorite
times.
Position,
okay?
Okay? I want to put that out there on the record.
Somebody get the microphone away from Bo.
I'm trying to show love to offensive linemen. Any chance that I get, any game that I get, you know, doing sidelines, I will get an offensive lineman on the phone. So I just want to put that out there right now.
Dylan,
you guys are the smartest guys in the room.
Dylan, I need you to pull up how many times Cam Newton got sacked in the Super Bowl.
In the Super Bowl, Bo. In the Super Bowl.
But they got there. They got there,
exactly.
Right? That's what Mike said.
Bama's bad offensive line back in 2021. He won the Heisman. He won the Heisman.
You
trophy.
Can't tell me that offensive line was the same kind of – look, I'm actually giving you a compliment, and I am standing way
Bo
away
is
from
standing
Mike.
Up.
But what I'm trying to tell you is you can't tell me that line was the same standard line that you played for when you were an All-American there that A.J. played behind – that Mac Jones played behind. You can't that offensive line was not nearly as good as the one Mac played behind the year before.
You know
real
why,
quick,
why
Cam Newton got sacked 6 times in the Super Bowl. Six.
6 times.
That's because he was looking to throw. Right? Tuck the pill and run.
Oh, are you?
Tuck the pill and run.
Hey, he's trying to make a comeback.
Look, my thing is this, and we don't have to stick on this all day. We ran the ball first. All right. Bill O'Brien, if you can point to anybody, you don't want to point out the offensive line, point to Bill O'Brien. They had 2 running plays. In the last couple of years that I've been, they were in a counter and an outside zone. All right. So at some point, when you have 5 guys across the offensive line that are 4 and 5 stars, and all of a sudden they're not a good offensive line, according to Bo, maybe you should look at the freaking guy that's calling the plays and designing the plays.
You know, you're taking words. You're actually doing what some people do to me on Twitter. You're taking my words out of context. I said they weren't a good offensive line to Bama standards. That offensive line the last 2 years has not been the quality of a Bama offensive line that we have seen in the past.
Hey, I'm going to ask you to back off now because we already heard about the different types of Mike. I don't want NASCAR Mike to come out, okay? NASCAR Mike, you know, doesn't hold back.
He's fast and furious.
We heard some stories,
y'all.
There's
a NASCAR squid coming out, too. And I know Mike's going to pop me quick.
We have mic'd up. Coming up after the break, this is the Morning Shift on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
We're going to get on down now.
We're talking all things Atlanta sports and beyond. This is the Morning Shift.
Make some noise!
The Morning Shift on 92.9 The Game is presented by the Georgia Hemp Company.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We are rolling here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, the Falcons continue to add some depth to their team yesterday. They re-signed veteran offensive lineman Jermaine Ifedi to a 1-year deal. And we know that he was a veteran solid reserve behind right tackle Caleb McGarry during his first season with the Falcons.
Yeah, former first round pick, a depth piece. He was quote unquote battling with Caleb McGarry through last offseason, which, by the way, that battle, if you really want to believe that, there turns out there's about, I don't know, $10, $11 million difference in that battle, the way that turned out. So, look, I think he's a guy with a high upside, obviously somebody they trust and want to keep around. And they need depth along the offensive line. So if it's relatively inexpensive, Bo, and you can bring him back on a 1-year, I think it's a good move.
I mean, and not everybody is going to be a top-tier player that you bring in here. I don't know what that battle really was. It didn't look like much of a battle at all to me. It just kind of looked like Caleb McGarry completely outperformed Ifedi. And he is a guy that you can kind of move around the line. Elijah Wilkinson was the guy that came into camp last year and really stood out, and he took over the left guard battle. He's a guy that's still out there, and hopefully the Falcons have to do something at left guard. We have to have, unless they're 100% good with going forward with Matt Hennessy at the left guard position, and Drew Dahlman is secure at the center spot. But I don't know if I'm – that doesn't – I'm not comfortable
doesn't
with
do
that.
It for you.
No, it doesn't, because Matt Hennessy got some reps in there last year, got hurt. Both times he got in and played, I'm not sold on him. I need something. I need an upgrade at left guard. I don't want to go. You're essentially going back out there with the exact same offensive line that I didn't think was that good at pass protection.
I agree with you. And look, I think they have to do something. I think they know they have to do something. I think where I sit right now is when you do look around in free agency in the NFL, I don't think there's any good options. You know what I mean? So you then look at guys who are depth pieces that know the system, and then you kind of fall back towards the draft and kind of start to piece what you're going to do in the draft together. So you look at it and say, okay, where can we land the best possible option to play left guard? Is that second round? Is that back in the third round? But you still have to get your pieces. Like we said, you need an edge rusher. You probably need a corner. You still need to probably bring in a wide receiver. I know they've been kicking the tires in free agency on a bunch of those. So there's still positions of need. I wouldn't put left guard at the top of that because you do have guys that have played that position before on this offensive line, although it, you know, probably not at a high level. So, look, I think there's a couple of different ways to approach it. I think they're still kind of figuring out where things land, and if they're not able to do anything in free agency, you fall back to the draft.
You're listening to The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I think, as we said before, he brings some stability to an offensive line as a reserve, and keeping with kind of what they've been doing throughout this free agency is getting guys that they're familiar with. So there's the comfortability there. You're bringing back a guy that can play multiple positions on the offensive line that can maybe help you. He's been an experienced starter before, at least.
I think that's a really good point. And I don't think that should be understated. You're bringing guys in another year, familiar with the system, familiar playing together. All that really helps. The offensive line, really, and this is why Mike and me were kind of going back and forth earlier about the Alabama thing. And I know Mike's going to pop me quick. This is a cohesive unit. You don't need five all-pros on the offensive line. You need five guys who are comfortable working together. Obviously, they have to be good, and a couple of them probably need to be really, really good, right? But they need to be working together and comfortable working together and have that cohesiveness. This helps keep that in case there is an injury on the line.
Yeah, you're getting back on the good side, Bo. I like where you're going with that. Because, look, it is repetition amongst the offensive line next to one another and the communication that needs to happen and passing off double teams and kind of, you know, listen, there's a lot of communication that people don't understand that happens on these outside zone plays. Look, hey, I know when he's going to take over for this guy. I know when I can climb to the second level. You can't replicate that. So when you talk about bringing back a guy who's been in the system, who has reps next to all the other guys that have played, I think that is a big deal. And I think it's a good move for them. Not body type-wise or ability to play, but it kind of reminds me of like that Will Svitek kind of role that played when I was around town. Look, you know, when Sam Baker steps out, you can have him step in. He's serviceable, you know. Probably not going to be in the all-pro conversation, but he's a guy that you can kind of count on in a pinch. I hope my wife is not listening right now, because I'm about to tell a story of some of the things that happened in our life yesterday. Let's get to mic'd up.
It's time to rant.
Excuse me?
It's time to rage.
It's time for Mic'd Up
on The Morning Shift.
Fourth anniversary yesterday of the Johnsons, and the babysitter fell through last night, so there was no romantic dinner. We didn't get to get out to any of the places Steak told us we should go up in Spanish Springs. Meal kit at the house, a nice bottle of Camus, drinking a little bit of wine, and just kind of talked about things and enjoyed one another. It was so funny, and people have been tracking this. I got a lot of comments on Twitter about this. About halfway through the dinner, though, drinking wine, trying to have things comfortable, my son is still awake, my daughter's asleep. Everything got quiet, and which the parents out there will know is never, never a good thing when you have a toddler running around the house. My son is literally running laps, right? All of a sudden, things get quiet. I hear a thump. Look at my wife. I said, what are the odds that he has climbed onto the dining room table? 1,000% were those odds, because I go and open the freaking door. He's sitting on the buffet, I think you call it, the buffet table inside of the dining room, and he's looking at me like, oh, damn.
Busted.
Starting to learn my lesson that I'm not supposed to climb on these things. Not the anniversary you probably wanted. Thank God yesterday my wife is listening to this segment, or wasn't listening to this segment, right? So I'm talking about yesterday how I kind of dropped the ball and she got me a gift, and I'm like kind of kicking the tires on what to get her. I didn't get her anything. By the end of the show yesterday, she had texted me and said, I don't want a card. I don't want flowers. I don't need any of this stuff.
She's my kind of girl. That's my kind of girl.
She's like, I was literally trying to do something cool. I don't need that. I don't need it to be repeated, especially since you talked about it on the freaking radio.
She knows she broke the rules. That's what it is. She knows that.
No.
She's a rule breaker.
No.
Yeah. Your wife's a rule breaker.
I was so mad at her, dude, over all that stuff. She did have a situation yesterday, though. So God bless her, man. You know, we're on the air early. The kids don't wake up until we're on air. We're in our first hour when my kids wake up, right? So she's taking care of the household, and she's trying to get to a meeting that starts at 7:45, right? She's got to go to work. She meets with she's a high school counselor. She meets with parents starting at 7:45. Trying to get out of the house. My daughter, who is almost one, in diapers, not even walking yet, she has a dirty diaper, right? So my wife picks her up and is like, oh, crap, freaking dirty diaper. Gets on my wife's shirt, right? So she has to put the baby back down, change the baby, change her shirt, gets out the door. Goes all the way. She goes.
This is awful.
She goes all the way through the meeting, right? And she's telling the parents, sorry I'm late. Daughter basically dropped a deuce on me this morning. I got to get out there.
You think that's the word she used?
I don't know.
She's probably a lot more professional.
Is that how counselors talk these days?
Probably not. But anyway, so she's going to be so mad at me for telling this story. She gets done with her parental meeting. You know, it probably lasts a half an hour, 8:15, 8:20, goes and sees her coworkers, the other counselors in the office. And she's like, man, you know, I was late getting in this meeting because my daughter had a dirty diaper, got all over me. I changed my shirt. Look down at her pants, and they're like, well, should have changed your pants too. Freaking poop.
You showed us the picture.
Everywhere. Poop everywhere all over her pants. And you just know that these parents that were sitting in this meeting with her were probably like, yeah, I don't think you see the poop all over your freaking pants right now. Black pants. So there's, oh, God, dude.
See, when I hear these stories, sometimes it's like, it makes me feel like Vegas, where I'm like, nah, I'm good on Vegas. It's like, nah, I'm good on kids.
Yeah. You know? Listen, if you're not fully committed to parenthood, don't do it. It's so funny because I tell people all the time, look, the pinnacle, in my opinion, of love, right, is having your own children and knowing that love of raising these kids. But I'm just going to tell you right now, dude, it is not an easy thing to raise kids.
I got a question.
Hit me with it. Is it for her or for me?
I know.
Because I had so many questions. We're sitting there sipping this bottle of Camus last night. I'm losing my mind over
really,
the story.
You really, like, brought it down where you're like, you could have just said we made dinner. Like, nah, we made it. We had a meal kit.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I didn't want to say, because I cooked
real romantic.
It, I didn't want to say like I prepared dinner last night. It was a freaking meal. It was like a Hungry Root. It took like 10 minutes. You know what I'm saying? I had to sprinkle shredded cheddar on the meal kit. So there was four ingredients for the meal kit.
You know when you
fistful that I had. You know, Dylan, I will.
You know when you step in dog poo, and you can smell it on the bottom of your shoe. Like you can smell
that.
It. You can smell it. Lindsay, don't be mad at me. You couldn't smell the poo on you?
And she has a nose like a bloodhound, dude. She has a nose like a bloodhound. She probably just thought, man, I didn't wash my hands good enough after I changed the diaper or something. And by the way, baby poop smells different than dog poop. It's just, you know, it's not like all poop. Like baby poop has like a certain like kind of
smells milky almost.
It.
Like almost milky,
well,
right?
Yeah, that too.
Like sour.
Yeah, what? I mean it's like a stench. It's rough, but yeah, so rough start to her day yesterday because she gave me a gift, did not receive one in return, and then while she's taking care of our kids so that I can come to work, one of the kids dropped a deuce on her. So
in the South, if my grandmother was listening to this story, she'd look at you and say, bless her heart.
Yeah. I had the same reaction, man, because she's one of those people that's stepping up to the plate, and she's doing everything she can to be a supportive wife and mother, and dude, just one thing after another. So we'll take it day by day.
Is for sure. Lindsay is the MVP.
It's a drop.
Coming up in our next hour, we have NFL Network's insider Mike Garofolo joining us, and we will be breaking down some more of these free agency moves. That and more coming up on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.